America is under siege. We are being bombarded by Washington with laws and regulations trying to control the way we live and what we believe. Well, enough is enough. Welcome to What Happened on TalkZone.com, where we don't mince words or beat around the bush. We give you straight talk and the plain truth. Now, here's your host, Tom Inavnet.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. It's very nice to have you here. I hope everyone had a wonderful 4th of July. We certainly did. It was nice. We got to have fireworks for the first time in 2 years, as a matter of fact. Finally getting some rain down here, although I understand that's not the case in many parts of the country. So hope you guys had a nice holiday. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, we'd love to hear from you on this show today. If you'll please give us a call at 888-463-6748. We'd love to talk with you. That's 888-GO-FOR-IT. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the topic of today's show is the balance of power that is currently existing in the United States. And right now, you know, the Democrats want the power, and the Republicans want the power, and libertarians and so forth want the power. And the question is, where does this power come from? Well, ladies and gentlemen, the power comes from us. We're the ones that give the government the power to operate. If we tell them no, then they're supposed to say no. But that just doesn't seem the way things are happening. As a matter of fact, the United States government, federal government, is trying everything it can to wrench as much power away from the citizens as it possibly can. And the ruling last week by the Supreme Court regarding Obamacare, I should say week before last, regarding Obamacare, has done more damage than just the ruling itself. And the reason I say this is because a bad law can be struck down at any time. That's relatively simple to do. It doesn't matter how complex the bad laws are. The voters can get rid of it at any time we want to. It's just a matter of getting the votes in Congress that provide us with permission to drop a law. We did that before. As a matter of fact, it's not just simple, easy laws. We did that with prohibition. You know, they put that in and has tried to regulate morality at prohibition. It didn't work. It actually sprung up one of the worst criminal eras in American history. And when it found that it simply was destroying the country rather than helping it, it was dropped after many years. The problem with the ruling for Obamacare is not the particulars of Obamacare itself. I mean, they're important. We're going to cover some of that today. But the truth be known is what happened when John Roberts actually did this ratification of Obamacare was he allowed the government, gave it permission, ratified by the Supreme Court, to tax our behavior, to tax anything we wish to do. Now, this is very far-reaching. This is an incredible shift of power from the American people to the government. Understand that we're the ones that have the power. We're the ones that vote. We're the ones that kick them right on out. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to be, to have the ability to tax us on our behavior or even our lack of behavior. Now, that's an absolutely incredible shift of power that we simply cannot let stand. Now, really what the Chief Justice said, and I know he gets a lot of guff one way or another about this, and really what he said, and it's people aren't going to agree with me on this, I'm sure of that. But what he said is it's not the Supreme Court's place to get rid of an unpopular law. And I have to say, I agree with that. What you get rid of an unpopular law by taking it back through legislation, taking it back through Congress, and getting it repealed. Now, we've done that before, as I said before. But the truth is we were all hoping, above hope, that the Supreme Court would come down and strike down this very unpopular law and take the monkey off our back. Well, that's not their mandate, and I know that the Supreme Court has been hammered over this. But regardless of what you say and what you do, somebody is going to be mad at the Supreme Court. That's just all there is to it. And what Justice Roberts has done was say it's not our place to legislate from the bench. Now, I believe he's right. It's not their place to make laws. It's the United States legislation to make, place to make laws. And it is ultimately us who has to ratify whether or not a law takes place by electing people that will enact laws that we like or by telling our congressmen, don't vote for this if you want to keep your job. Now, in a blog called The Right Track by Julie Sizdlowski, I'm sorry, I probably just butchered that. She wrote, what the people don't know is that the ruling is a monstrous disaster and a huge blow to the constitutional principle of limited government and personal freedoms. Essentially what happened is that the court ruled that Congress does not have the right to make Americans buy something under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution, which, by the way, that was our protection from this. But it did say that Congress can compel us to buy something under the tax code. Now, that is incredibly scary thing to now know that all of those commerce clause that was put in there to protect us against this, it's still valid. But this decision made it where Congress can compel us to buy something under the tax code. And haven't we had enough of that already? They're taxing us so bad that it's not so much. And let me put this a different way. It's not that they're taxing us excessively. They want to. But it's that they are misapplying those taxes, which they already collect, to the degree that is causing our entire country to suffer in ways that, you know, it's just unimaginable. We're being pulled under regulations and under tax burdens that are actually taking our freedoms away from us one at a time. And the real disaster about this is it's happening so subtly that it really is something that we are ignoring by and large. I mean, it's the old story about put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But you put a frog in a pot of water and then turn the heat up slowly but surely, he'll sit there in that water until he boils to death. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. You notice we've talked before about how they're trying to change the narrative. They change, trying to pull our focus one way or another. Well, President Obama's doing that over and over and over, as are Eric Holder and a lot of those other cats. And I'm not just blaming the Democrats. I'm saying the Republicans are just as guilty as the Democrats. They move the story from side to side, try to keep us where we're not focusing on what's important. Now, a nationally syndicated columnist, William Hamilton, said that the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office says that Obama tax, that's the new name for it, will impose an estimate of $813 billion in new taxes on people making $125,000 or less, making Obama tax the largest tax increase on the middle class and the poor in American history. Goes on to say that Obama tax won't bother the rich, who can simply pay cash for everything. But the Heritage Foundation predicts that the net result of the Obama tax will be fewer people with health care, Medicare reduced by $500 billion, and the overall cost of health care services for everyone will skyrocket. And now that makes sense if you think about it. If all of a sudden you mandated that everybody had to buy a widget, well, the company that makes that widget is going to jack their price up because now you have to. Now, I hear people tell me back and forth, talk to me about, well, yeah, my state makes me buy automobile insurance. Yes, it does, and it should, but that's a state matter for one. It's a state matter. It's an effort to protect those who are involved in an accident with someone who doesn't have insurance. It's an ability, or it's an effort to protect our driving public. On the other hand, as soon as they pass the laws in this state, they also have a minimum a maximum price that they can charge for the minimum coverage. In other words, they can't charge out the nose for just liability coverage, which is what we're required here. There are certain limits that were set by the Texas government and a maximum price they can charge for this. And now that's something that Obamacare did not address. So that's something that we need to take a look at. Now, William Hamilton, he goes on to say that in essence, Chief Justice Roberts wrote that if Americans want to get rid of what Americans perceive as a bad law, then Americans will have to vote out of office those elected officials who enacted the bad law. The court won't do the voters' work for them. Now, anticipating the Obama tax, many employers have already begun dropping health insurance programs and plan to pay the Obama tax instead. 74% of small business are telling the United States Chamber of Commerce that Obama tax will make job creation even more difficult than it is now. Well, I don't know why that is a mystery. You're going to pile even more expenses, more regulation on our small employers, and how can they possibly afford it? Now, the article goes on one more time to say that even Obama appointee Charles Blauhaus of the George Mason University admits that Obama tax will add $1,160,000,000,000 to federal spending over the next 10 years, and will add $340 billion to the federal deficit. Now, wait a minute, folks. Wait just a minute. I thought this was supposed to be paid for. Now, if you're going to make us pay a tax to have the privilege of not buying a product, so we're paying that, and those who don't pay it will have to get insurance or face other fines. And I'm telling you, some of the numbers for these fines is outrageous, huge, upwards to $10,000 and $12,000 a year. But if you're going to make us pay these penalties because we don't have health insurance, well, then shouldn't that pay for it? I mean, really, that says if you're going to make us pay for it, well, then why are you adding $1.1 trillion to the federal spending and $340 billion to our federal debt? We're supposed to be paying for it. That's what the Obama tax, unquote, is supposed to be. But it's simply not going to be that way, ladies and gentlemen. It's too much power. Now, we have already heard stories. Now, it's been a couple of weeks since this came out, and, of course, everyone was holding their breath, bated breath, saying, please strike this down for us. We think it's a horrible law. And the polls show that it is, in fact, in the eyes of the American people, bad legislation. And it, you know, there's polls that say 50-50 and so forth and so on, but 70% of Americans agree that this is an intrusion into our private lives and is not a welcome intrusion. This is not something we want the federal government to be in charge of. Because we all know what's going to happen. It's going to happen this way, folks. There's going to be times you're an 80-year-old man and you need a knee replacement. Then the board is going to say, no, you're not cost effective. You don't have enough years left in you to make it profitable or even break even with a $10,000 knee replacement. Yet some kid in football, 20 years old, breaks his leg in football, and he comes up and says, yep, you come right on in because you're going to be part of the marketplace for the next 60 years. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not a supposition on my part. That is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. We've seen it happen the world over. We really have. And at the same time, we've seen the quality of the medical care that is doled out with an eyedropper decline. And it declines for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that now you have removed incentive from the medical community. You have controlled our entire medical environment. And you're going to drive people away from it. We are already short something to the effect of 90,000 doctors that we could use. So what are we going to do with all this new health care? It's a laudable goal. I mean, if you think of it, we want everybody to be able to get access to health care. We really do. But this is not the way to do it. As the Supreme Court made clear, the cornerstone of Obamacare is a massive tax. And this is according to the House Majority Leader, Eric Cantor. It's a massive tax on the American people. No matter which way you slice it, American families and businesses of every size and shape will face higher costs and patients will have less control over their own health care choices. Now, that's the pluses and minuses of Obamacare, and that's just one step. But like I told you when we started this, it's not just Obamacare that's the issue. It's the power this ruling has given to the federal government. And let's make an example, okay? Obamacare put aside. Obama's White House has made no secret at all that it prefers green energy. That's not a secret, with Solyndra and so forth and so on. Now, this Supreme Court ruling will give them the ability to tax you if your car gets under, let's say, 30 miles per gallon. Or what's worse, to tax you if you don't buy a hybrid. Now, people laugh. That's not going to happen. Well, I don't know. You know, they could actually tax you if you vote Republican. They can do that. The Supreme Court just said, yeah, they can tax our behavior. They can tax us if we live in a non-democratic district. Now, that sounds ridiculous, does it not? Well, the only problem with that being ridiculous or not is that I didn't think that Obamacare would pass. I really didn't. I thought that we would look at it and say, are you nuts? This is crazy. But it did happen, didn't it? With $500 billion cut from Medicare to help fund Obamacare, senior citizens are already reporting difficulty getting access to doctor's appointments because many doctors have simply stopped taking Medicare patients due to the funding restrictions. Now, what do you think can happen when the Congress all of a sudden has the power to tax you because of your behavior, because of how you vote, because of what you drive, because of what you eat, because of what you drink? They can do it, and they will, ladies and gentlemen, they will. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're right in the middle of summertime. Isn't it wonderful? And I hope you've gotten off the couch. I hope you're back out there. I know some places the weather's not great. It's awfully hot outside. But still, you need to get up, get back into life, and start feeling better about yourself. Now, you can always go to the gym, pick up steel, put it down. You can always walk on a treadmill or a tread climber, whatever they call those things. But to me, that is just something that is mind-numbing. Now, consider that martial arts might be the way for you to get back into shape. I go to the dojo a couple of times a week. My son and I go, and we love it very much. We feel energized when we do it. It's never the same thing twice. You know, you'll be kicking X-ray film one day and doing, you know, it's never the same thing twice, so it's never boring. Now, can I suggest to you Shui Hua Kung Fu at Heart of Texas Martial Arts? They offer Kung Fu, Brazilian, Jiu-Jitsu, and for those searching for a real workout, Fighting Fit Boot Camp. I'm telling you, that'll drop those pounds like you've never seen. Now, there are two dojos, great dojos, to serve you, serving most of Central Texas, is the Heart of Texas Martial Arts in Brownwood, Texas. Come by. Let Sifu Tony Walker change the way you think about getting back into shape. He'll help you trim those extra pounds, and you'll feel better than you have in years. I've lost 12 pounds. In the Dallas Metroplex, visit the Center for Martial Arts in Plano. Come by and meet the Grand Master of Shui Hua Kung Fu. From ages 5 to 75, martial arts will help you build confidence and provide a challenging and fun way to stay fit. So visit us at Heart of Texas Martial Arts at heartoftexasmartialartsma.com. Once again, that's heartoftexasma.com. And we'll be right back after these messages.